morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Tuesday, May 23rd, 2017. We have 17 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, those north winds continue yesterday. Boy, I was out on the beach walking a little bit, and it was blowing from the north yesterday. They're going to move around to the northwest later on in the day, but ramp up to about 20 knots and gusting to 25 again. So might not want to wear a hat if you go to the beach because you might lose it. Wind waves from the northwest today, 3 feet high at 5 seconds apart, and west swells 6 feet high at 12 seconds. Patchy fog early in the morning and patchy drizzle in the afternoon. What is that? We were just getting used to this sunshine. Well, today on the Ship Report, I thought I'll go through the ship schedule with you, and then I'll do something I don't usually do, which is to kind of talk about the ship traffic and what we're seeing and what are these ships that are coming into the river. So, let's start with our inbounders. We have three of them. We have five in the Astoria Anchorage. We have two at Rice Island, a little bit upriver from Astoria. We have seven outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. These are the ships that you're going to see going by today, or probably from some vantage point on the river, you'll be able to see these ships at some time today. Probably the most obvious ship in Astoria today is the cruise ship, the Celebrity Infinity, which arrived this morning. She's one of our three inbounders. She's big. I talked about her quite a bit yesterday on the Ship Report. 1,000 feet long. I'm sure she's towering over the Cannery Pier Hotel, which is not a small building. So this is a ship that has a couple thousand passengers, a few thousand passengers on board, and about 1,000 staff members. So I don't think you see any vessels that come into the river here that have as many people on board as these cruise ships do. That's because people are their cargo, if you think of it that way. Another type of ship that has a lot of people on board, comparatively speaking, are active duty military ships. They tend to have a couple thousand troops on board. But in general, when you look at these cargo ships that come into the river, they have a crew of less than 30 people on board, sometimes somewhere between 20 and 30 people to run one of those vessels. And that includes the officers, the people in the engine room, and the crew members who go around doing various things to handle the cargo and keep things going. So that's about the size of the crew on one of these ships. So the Celebrity Infinity arrived at the dock about 7 a.m. She'll leave sometime in the afternoon. The ships come in here and they stay just for the day, the cruise ships. And this ship is headed from, coming here from San Francisco, headed up to Puget Sound on a 10-day cruise from San Diego. Next inbound is the Ultra Calbuco. She's arriving from Japan, headed for Astoria's Anchorage. She will pass Astoria. She will arrive in the Astoria Anchorage around 12:30 p.m. The Athos is another bulk carrier arriving from offshore. She's headed for Astoria's Anchorage, and she'll be there at about 2:30 p.m. Not sure where they're going yet, which is why I don't know their cargoes. In the Astoria Anchorage, we have the Adriana Rose headed for Calama to pick up either corn, soy, or wheat, or some combination thereof. I'll talk about that in a minute. She'll be leaving around noontime from the Anchorage. Might see her in Calama by about 5 p.m. That leaves the Oriana Luck, the Bulk Portugal, the Navios Primavera, and the Maratha Promise awaiting orders in the Astoria Anchorage. In the Rice Island Anchorage, the Happy Clipper and the Faith are awaiting orders. In our outbounders, we have the Pelican State. She is a crude oil tanker in the shipyard at Swan Island in Portland, probably for some kind of repairs and maintenance. This is a ship that is normally in Alaska hauling crude oil. She's leaving around 8 a.m. outbound, so she must be done with whatever she needed to have done at the shipyard. Might see her pass Astoria outbound around 2 p.m. So if you see a big ship go by with pipes and valves on deck, that's probably the Pelican State. The MP Kamsarmax 1 is leaving Longview carrying wheat, leaving around 10:30 a.m., passing Astoria outbound around 2 p.m. She is a dry bulk carrier that sat in the anchorage for quite a while compared to some of the other ships that were coming and going. And since she was picking up wheat, it makes me wonder if she might not have had previously a mineral cargo and had problems meeting the USDA inspection criteria. Maybe she had to clean her holds all over again in order to be allowed to go upriver. So that's one possibility for why a ship might sit in the anchorage for, say, a couple of weeks. The Salvia Ace is arriving, leaving Vancouver with Subarus on board. She's leaving around 1 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 7 p.m. The Ginja Lynx is leaving Calama, could be caustic soda on board there. She's perhaps bringing that in. Departing around 2 p.m., passing Astoria outbound maybe around 8 p.m., probably more like about 7 p.m. for that. There's about a five-hour travel time between Astoria and Kalama. The EOS Victory is leaving Portland carrying wheat, leaving around 3 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 9 p.m. The Princess Paula is leaving Longview with logs on board at about 5 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 8:30. And the Cherry Point is heading out of Longview carrying pet coke. She's leaving around 6:30 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 10 p.m. So an overview of some of the things about the ships we see on the river. By far the most common type of ship we see is the dry bulk carrier. I've talked about quite a lot of them. In fact, 12 of the 17 vessels on the river today are dry bulk carriers, and they are the workhorse of the merchant fleet. The ships that we see on the river here tend to range between 500-600 feet and 800 feet long, and they carry most of the cargo in the world. I mean, we talk about the book 90% of Everything, which I just got a copy of, which is, thank you so much for that. Scott McMullen, who dropped a copy off for me at the station, was talking about container traffic being the driver of, that's where we get all our stuff. Well, where all the stuff comes from to manufacture all that stuff is on these dry bulk carriers. So a tremendous amount of raw materials gets moved around the world by dry bulk carriers, and those raw materials are used to manufacture the goods that we then get on the container ships. So it is a big moving target, the whole thing, where everything is, all these goods are moving around the world to places where they are manufactured, which right these days is primarily Asia. But the food cargoes are a different story. They go to places where people need those things like corn, soy, and wheat. So speaking of corn, soy, and wheat, if you look at a bulk carrier, a dry bulk carrier, you'll see that they have numerous different cargo holds. You can see the hatches on deck, and each one is a separate, discrete cargo hold. So a ship could, and often does, go upriver and pick up different cargoes. So, sort of the secret upriver life of these ships that we don't see here in Astoria is that they come into the river, and they might go to a couple different ports and pick up different things in different cargo holds and then deliver them to different places or to different for different purposes. So a ship may go up there and not come downriver for quite a while because it is going from one port to another up there to deliver cargoes. So when we see these ships that are anchored up at Rice Island, say, that's a relatively new thing. If you're a longtime listener to the Ship Report, you know that it's only been within the past year that I've even talked about Rice Island, because that anchorage did not exist before. And it was designated, I believe, by the state as an official anchorage based on a number of factors that the pilots had a big say in, river pilots, and where those anchorages would be happening because they know the river well and know where the places are that they could potentially stop. So the criteria for an anchorage is probably going to be that it's naturally deep and that it has room to, that the river is wide enough there so that a couple of ships could be anchored and not get in the way of the ship channel when they're swinging at anchor. Because in most places on the river, the ships will swing at anchor. The place that I know of where they don't is in Longview, where there actually are buoys that the ships hook up to. So a ship in anchoring on the Rainier side of the river will hook up its stern to a buoy, an anchor buoy, and its bow will have a real anchor on it that's on the ship that they drop. And that will keep the ship from swinging in a narrow part of the river where they just don't have enough room to be swinging. What else about these ships? There's so much that I could tell you about. A little bit about cars, the kinds of cars that come into the river. We usually see Subarus coming in, Hondas, and Toyotas. The Subarus go to Vancouver. The Hondas and Toyotas go to the port of Portland. And recently, out of the port of Portland, they've been exporting new Fords to Asia. So there actually are some American-manufactured cars going across the river to Asia, which is kind of an unusual thing. Sometimes on these car carriers, because they are what are known as in the industry as roll-on, roll-off vessels, they sometimes move vehicles for the military on occasion or other cargoes that can roll. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.